Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I am joined again by Evan Cox, who is our marketing director, who has got some frequently asked questions from the audience. Evan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, happy to be here, Mason. I think a question that we get a lot is around the role of messaging. Brand messaging has kind of entered the spotlight for a variety of marketing campaigns and ideas. It's not a new concept for lots of folks. You've got story brand, other methodologies. But I'd love to know, specifically in account-based marketing, ABM specific, what should the role of messaging be?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things just to level set. One, to simplify ABM, it's right person, right message, right time. So when I think about it, it's a third of the equation. And additionally, when we have actually looked at some data that has come out from a variety of marketers on why their ABM programs have been successful, 56% of them actually attribute it specifically to content and messaging. So as much as I know we talk about ABM from a targeting and an operations perspective, at the end of the day, if you can get the perfect targeting and the perfect execution from a timing perspective, but you say the wrong thing, it didn't really matter. So I and Evan actually both come from story brand, but guide messaging backgrounds. And one of my favorite things that Donald Miller has ever said is people buy things because at some point they read or heard words that convinced them to buy something. And as simplistic as that is, I think we still miss it. So again, when I think about the importance of messaging and content, it starts with the recognition that even like if you got right targeting in wrong timing, but great messaging, that's better because they at least know and they may come back around later. But again, if you have right targeting, right timing, but wrong message, you're not going to get anyone to buy.
Yeah, it's almost game over, right? You have to have that in place. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. Can you walk us through an example? If we're thinking through maybe two different campaigns or two different programs that are going to be running concurrently in the same organization, what's a way that you might actually look at how those two things differ from a messaging perspective?
Yeah, so I think it starts by first ensuring you've actually got really great brand messaging as an organization. There are tons of companies that actually have terrible brand messaging. So if like you show up on the website and you're like, I read the most advanced and comprehensive omnichannel fintech solution, that doesn't mean anything. And I make that joke because I actually at one point was forced to write that by an executive leadership team, despite my desire to actually have words that made sense. So again, marketers, it's not always your fault. Sometimes executives push you to say jargon because they want it to sound fancier so you sound smarter for your buyers. But if your buyers don't understand what you're saying, they will not buy. Surprise. So that's the first thing. Second thing is once you've nailed general global brand messaging, most organizations, when they go through that brand messaging exercise, think about their total addressable market or their total relevant market, depending on how you want to structure it. And to give you quick definitions, total addressable market, every customer that you could potentially viably serve, total relevant market would be customers that we can serve well right now. So that's a slight nuance there. But you think about it at that kind of a global level. When I think about building messaging for an ABM program, you take global level messaging and you make it specific to that market. Because again, all messaging really is market message fit. So we're focused on how do we get the right message for our market at a global level. Well, ABM is just really specific markets. So you get really specific to, okay, it's not just going to be, and I'll give a quick example of one of our former clients, Parsable, that was a technology company that was specific to manufacturing organizations. So they helped create digital SOPs. So we helped with their global general messaging for manufacturing companies. And then we ended up helping build out a specific campaign and program that was for customers, that was for SAP customers, specifically in relation to Parsable's new integration with SAP and how that had this better together story. So the core fundamentals of what Parsable didn't change because we added in the SAP component. But what it did do is actually created more specific problems that we could directly address that SAP users were uniquely experiencing that Parsable could then solve for. So the problem language got exponentially more specific. And then the solution-oriented language also got exponentially more specific because we could then frame it as you're experiencing these problems. This is exactly very specifically how Parsable is the right solution. And then we could build Parsable up as the authority because we couldn't just – we could go past more the we have X number of customers. But what we could do is actually say we have X number of customers that are using SAP and Parsable together. We have X number of customers that have now seen these benefits as a result of this integration. And then you can list some of those customers. And what I have found – this has actually been really interesting now that we've got quite a few logos on our website. People come check out our website – and they are specifically back channeling to other companies that they already know to get a sense for us before they ever book a call, which is awesome when people like you. So again, if you actually even get specific on the logos that you're showing to showcase these customers got this benefit, if people start back channeling, then you actually get back channeled to people that have already experienced the specific benefits that you're outlining, which is even further building your authority. Again, if anyone's familiar with the StoryBrand framework, it's a 7-step framework, but it also includes like outlining success points. So like all the things that got better as a result of actually moving forward. The other thing that I really love that it does is it calls out failure points. This is your life if you don't move forward. So again, avoid a 40% decrease in productivity. Like avoid this stuff that makes your life worse. And when you have specific target accounts and specific reasons you're reaching out, those failure points also get more specific. So when I think about ABM and messaging combined, it's taking good global messaging that already resonates with a total addressable market or a total relevant market, and then narrowing it even further to that specific market that you're trying to go after with your ABM program.
I love that. So a quick recap, you've talked about problem market fit, product market fit, but it's often left out message market fit. That's another criteria. I love that.
See, I mean, honestly, as you think through messaging, again, taking global messaging and making it really specific to those specific accounts is the step that people should take. And the other thing for a final thought before we call it, don't make it a one and done. Like, yes, your global messaging may be one of those things that you want to keep in market for quite some time because, again, at the end of the day, like, hopefully you've done a lot of upfront work and a lot of customer research and, like, you really nailed that messaging and it resonated and to change your – like entire company positioning on a very frequent basis is not a good idea because it makes it hard to categorize. But if you adjust the nuances of your messaging for these specific accounts to frame it differently on exactly how you address a very specific problem for a very specific subset of accounts, then you can actually see what message within that subset is resonating the most and will drive a higher conversion. And then the other thing you want to start doing is as you start to execute various types of programs, what I find to be very helpful and interesting for market message validation is within a certain subset of accounts and then a different subset of accounts, if I consistently see the same pain points coming up that are the conversion points for these individual completely separate subset of accounts, it's likely that that's not a pain point unique to that subset of accounts. It's likely that is global messaging. And what I've often actually started to see is that people will use their ABM programs as a way to see what pain points might resonate a little bit differently and to see the consistency that these are resonating across multiple different audiences, at which point you should likely elevate to be a core part of your global messaging. So I also like to think of ABM as a great testing ground for what messaging resonates that should end up on our homepage. So that is how you would think about ABM and messaging, current state. And my favorite thing about messaging, completely free. Like, just go change some words and see what happens. So hopefully that's helpful. Evan, again, thank you so much for asking some great questions. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.